Thank you for choosing to listen to the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast. In a really amazing selection of other podcasts indicative of the recruitment market and the business market, for whatever reason you're listening now, we just want to say thank you for choosing us. We couldn't do this without our sponsor and our partners. We're going to talk about them a little bit later on in the show, but thank you to Pager, our sponsors, and our partners Inclusion Crowd and Needy. And without further ado, let's jump in to get to know this week's guest. I'm really excited to welcome to our global community of the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast today somebody that I've had the absolute privilege to know in real life for a number of years, but you might be familiar with this profile if you are an avid LinkedIn user. This is Max Learmonth, who is the founder and CEO of Forge Talent. He has become quite a big voice on LinkedIn for sharing very sort of good opinions, but also quite, you know, possibly divisive opinions on what state he thinks the recruitment industry is in. It's certainly won over a lot of new fans, that's for sure. We talk about why he thinks recruitment is broken in 2024, how it should be more relationship-led, and why he thinks we've reached such a point of saturation and transaction. What does he think we can all do, well, at whatever stage in your career you're at, to fix it and make sure we are a much better recruitment industry, and what we can do to support one another. We also define what high performance looks like. What does he think high performance behaviours are, and how do we spot that as leaders? And then in terms of LinkedIn, he talks about how to create your most authentic voice, especially for leaders listening. So without further ado, let's jump into this week's episode. We are so proud at the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast to be sponsored by Pager. Pager helps recruiters to build personal brands, to identify new business opportunities, to attract those hard-to-find candidates, and to basically have better conversations. Now, you will have a large network that you want to build credibility with on LinkedIn, and sometimes posting content every day feels impossible. Now, that changes once you have Pager. Pager provides you with the ideas, the content, and the scheduling capability to produce daily content to build out your own personal brand in minutes. And for business development too. Pager identifies companies that are advertising jobs, have key hiring indicators such as funding rounds, mergers, acquisitions, or senior appointments, and then alerts you to this daily. Pager also enables you to write candidate-centric job adverts without bias in seconds. So once you advertise your job, Pager will then automatically create a branded post and publish it to LinkedIn without you even having to lift a finger. So when you want to actively source candidates, you can create complex Boolean strings in seconds. All you need to do is to provide the job title and location. Now, Pager is making thousands and thousands of recruiters smarter and faster. For more information, click on the link pager.co to book your demo, and remember to mention the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast when inquiring. Now, back to the episode. This is Leisha Holmes, and I'm your host on the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast. And I am so excited to welcome to our global community today somebody who I've had the absolute pleasure of knowing in real life, as well as I'm sure a lot of you, if you're on LinkedIn, you probably know this person's brand, which is one of the things we're going to talk about today. But he's talking to the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast for the first time today. Welcome to you today, Max Learmonth, who is the founder and CEO of Forge Talent and guru on LinkedIn. Welcome to you today, Max. How are you?
I am great. Thanks for having me on. Really appreciate
it. You're absolutely welcome. We've been waiting a while to do this. I think I asked you about a dozen times during 2023, and eventually we got it in the diary because your diary is very busy. Now, people might not know who you are if they don't follow you on LinkedIn. So give us an overview of who you are, what you do.
So founder of Forge Talent. We specialise in finance and accounting recruitment across the Northwest. We will have been going 12 months in June. Right. But prior to that, I've been in the recruitment industry for 12 years. I was with a large FTSE listed business for 7 years. and then joined a smaller to medium-sized business. And both of those businesses sort of taught me what to do, what not to do. So then decided to so then decided to go it alone. Bring some people I've known with me for a long time to set up Forge Talent.
Well, I mean, there's so many things there that knowing our community, and you might not know this, but our community, when we get feedback across the globe, which, you know, we still have a large proportion of those in the UK, but we have a global audience, is it tends to be recruiters who are trying, you know, quite early in their career, trying to learn from all these experts, but also people who are, you know, been doing it a long time like myself, but also leaders as well. So I think there's going to be a lot of people thinking, wow, there's so many components to your own personal journey there. So I'm just, before we sort of crack on, I just want to understand what, if we can go back to, you know, when you left your big corporate to go and work for an SME, and then obviously you've set up your own business, and you said there, you indicated, you know, doing things the way that you thought were the right way to do it. What set you up? I mean, what was the reason that you decided to set up on your own? Like, what made you take that leap?
I think this goes into, I suppose, our tagline, relationships, not transactions.
Okay.
I think the recruitment industry, in my opinion, has got to go through a whole host of change. And it's become so transactional. There are far too many recruitment businesses, consultants that are focusing on one thing, and that's their back pocket and that's their commission. So
okay.
All the things that I'd learned in the larger corporate and then the SME, I wanted to put into my own business, put into a brand where everything was focused on relationships. Everything we do from start to finish, and we put the customer first. So the experiences that I'd had previously taught me so much about best practice, taught me a lot about what not to do. Gave me this well-rounded view, by no means a finished article, by no means because you have an article, but gave me this well-rounded view of what good looks like. And then what I wanted to do was set up a business where relationships internally and externally were extremely important, be relationship driven in everything that we do. And excuse my language, I'm not sure if we're allowed to swear.
Of course, you can fucking swear, I don't mind.
good, because I do have a potty mouth.
Good, me too.
Not just have shitty recruitment practices where we fling CVs and hope that something sticks, because the industry does need to go through wholesale change. There are some great businesses out there, but there's also a lot of shady shit going on. So,
I mean, talking off camera, won't we? Obviously, I'm not going to go into the nitty gritty, and I'm hoping by the time I listen back to this, I'll have long forgotten this scenario. But integrity is everything, and I think that's what connected you and I when we met, when you were working in the SME, and obviously since you've launched on your own. And I mean, look, I could not shout that any louder. I think that's why startups and owner managed businesses, I think, are absolutely at the sort of forefront of how we can steer the change, which is what the default should have been right from the start. And I don't know at what point the transactional recruiter became the norm and the expectation that if you go and speak to Joe Bloggs in the street, you go and speak to your friend, your relative who's gone through a recruitment process, their expectation is so appalling of what we actually do for our job that they actually think we literally just send CVs out for our living, and that how can you charge 20% for just doing that? That the perception is based on this horrendous generic term, like you know, that you've got on your strap line, which is this transactional recruiter that, what do you say, back pockets, you know, it's all about the commission. So where has it gone wrong? Where is it? Greed? Is it because we've got so much competition? I don't understand how what you've described there as the how it should be isn't the norm, because that's what I think should be the norm.
I think it's a combination of a load of things. In my opinion, it probably started to happen 5 years ago, where greed from the larger businesses, that has started to happen. People getting brought in to recruitment aren't getting taught actually how to recruit. They're told to spam a CRM. They're told to mass mail. They're not actually taught how to recruit. They're being taught how to do recruitment administration. And why should a client pay a fee for that? But I actually agree with that. You can chuck an advert out there, and you might get somebody. So I think the greed element of what you've just said is true. I think the learning and development that isn't happening across a lot of businesses. And then I don't think COVID helped. Like COVID didn't, because arguably in a lot of sectors post-COVID, you could fling a CV and it would stick. And you could fling that to 7, 8, 9, 10 businesses and it was going to stick somewhere. So there was this overinflated billings that was going on across the industry, coupled with a lack of training and development, greed from certain individuals and certain businesses. You put it all in a melting pot and what, 75% of the industry work to do because it's broken.
I agree with you totally. I mean, I'm covered in goosebumps because I couldn't agree more with how broken I think our industry often is. And for me, it is such a simple strapline that you have. And when I read it, when I was doing my preparation for the podcast, I was like, it's just so bloody simple. Of course, it's about relationships. And, you know, if I think about, you know, we've done about 200 odd episodes of the podcast now, and so many of them have been around the threat of AI and we're going to get replaced. And it's like, no, that's, you know, that enables you. Technology enables you. And I think what you've described there is why we don't want that tech involved in a career search or having a strategic hire in your business, i.e. the spam in mails. I'm a recipient of them all the time. I get them from other recs to recs, unfortunately. And I always reply back saying, I'm not really sure this was meant for me. And of course it was just a spam. It wasn't intended for me. And I don't think anybody ever responds to them. And if they do, then they're more fool on them. So I think your starting point is what has set you apart. And I know that when we were talking off camera, you know, you've had a, you know, you started in 2023, which actually for a lot of companies was actually a really challenging year. But it sounds like you've had a really good start to the journey, and that's not only down to the fact that, you know, you've created an amazing team around you. I know that you brought some ex-colleagues with you, but you personally did something that is going to resonate with leaders here. You got back on the phones, Max. How was that?
Well, I had to, first and foremost. I think I had mortgages to pay. Riz and Adam, who you know have worked with me for a long time, and I asked them to come on this journey with me. And, you know, I'm very, very grateful that they decided to, but ultimately they've got mortgages to pay as well. And I couldn't sit there and be like, right, boys, what jobs have you got on? Like, what roles are you going to fill? Like, I had to get back on the phone. First 2 weeks, like, daunting, like, call it cold call anxiety, call it whatever you want.
Wow.
First 2 weeks, it was like, right, I've got to get over this. I've got to be planned properly. And I've just got to get on and do it. And when you've got two people like that alongside you at the time, you're like, right, I've really got to get after it. And clearly there's a competitive streak within me as well. And it's like, I want to build, I want to lead from the front. So you put it into a melting pot. We've had a really, really good start.
Good start. I'm glad you've described that fit, because I think, again, we get a lot of people that feedback, probably the biggest cohort of people that do actually take time to send us messages, which is the greatest joy of being the host, is newbie recruiters, a lot of whom have come into, you know, the recruitment industry post, I don't want to say the COVID boom, but it was a COVID boom, 2020 to 2022. It was just insane. Who were being asked to do this sort of business development, getting on the phone. You've talked about cold call anxiety, somebody who's got a prolific career, 12 years, you know, you've obviously progressed. So just from a practical point of view, how did you tackle that in terms of, I mean, you're very experienced, but just if you can make this quite generic, what's the best bit of advice you would give for somebody who's being asked to do that as part of their job to make sure you weren't consumed by that fear?
Yeah, I think it comes down to a couple of things. First of all, think about why. Like, why are you in the industry? Why are you in recruitment? Why are you in sales? Because it can be applied to a whole host of different things. And you've got to understand what role you're in. Recruitment is a sales role. So if you don't want to sell in one form or another, this isn't the right industry for you. So you've got to understand, first and foremost, why you are in this seat, like why you're in the business that you're in. A lot of it then came down to planning. Like, I needed to be planned every single night so that when I was coming into it the following day, I knew who I was calling and why. And I had, to have purpose on every single call. And then it was about getting the reps in. It was practice, 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 because the first call is going to be a complete car crash compared to the 100th. And I'm not saying KPIs or anything like that. I'm not focused on that. For me, it's all about output. But personally, I had to get the reps in because I hadn't done it for so long. Mm. Like, I didn't know who was hiring in the market. I didn't know what was going on. So how am I going to start to generate that market intelligence, that market information, what's going on in different spaces?
Mm.
I just needed to get over it. But I could do that by understanding what the why was, like, why am I doing this? Why am I building Forge? And then the planning, the purpose, and then the repetitions.
Yeah, that is phenomenal advice. And I just want to add to the why, so why you're sat here, if you're listening now, why are you sat here in recruitment? Why are you in this industry? But then think about the why you're calling your client. And I think one of the best bits of my initial recruitment training way back in the 90s, that's how old I am, was we would start a call, we would do our research. And I know you've talked about planning there. I think it's really vital to have a reason for your call. And we would say, you know, you get through to your decision maker and say, the reason for my call is, and have a reason for the call, because then you know, they know why you're calling them. You're not just calling to say, have you got any job for me? So I think that's really important. I think preparation is the key. To this day, 25 years later, I still do, at the end of every working day, I write down my plan for the next day. So I know exactly what I'm doing the next day, whether that's external meetings, interview prep, whatever it might be. It's a great way to actually be able to switch off, because it is a stressful job. So I think it's a really good life hack. And I love the analogy, because there'll be plenty of people listening that maybe have just started a new fitness hobby. I started doing strength training and weightlifting this year. So you saying reps, I think back to my first, you know, RDL or something, it was probably really quite messy. But the more you do it, the better you become. And you are always going to look at your progression. I think there also has to be a little bit of just fucking do it. And I'm not being disingenuous saying that. But I think if you're so consumed by fear listening to this about doing any sort of sales, seriously, this isn't the career for you, because that is actually the job that Max is describing.
It is. And I can't stress enough that if you don't want to be in sales, then recruitment.
Please go and do something else. There's a whole world out there. Just don't do this. So if we're going to look at, and I know this is something you're really passionate about, the sort of the high performance element, it's something you talk about really significantly on your LinkedIn. In order for you to become a high performing recruiter, I think it's accepting that, you know, there are elements of the job that maybe you're better at, that you're not so good at, but ultimately we are here as consultative salespeople. We're not talking about sell me this pen. We're talking about building relationships. So please listen to what Max and I are saying. So yeah, let's talk about high performance. So, you know, I'll pretend to be Damien and Jake from the High Performance. Damien has been on the show.
They'll never have me on that podcast.
No, but Damien's been on mine, and he's offered to come back on, actually. So there you go. He's lovely, Damien Hughes. If you don't listen to the High Performance podcast, you should be doing. So I know that they ask this of their guests, and I often ask this of people like yourself who are, you know, you are a high achiever. What do you think high performance looks like, and how do we spot it in potentially in other people?
So I think for me, being a high-performing recruiter, and being a high-performing recruitment leader comes down to being world-class at the basics. I think that's ultimately what it boils down to. And there's a whole host that goes into it. But if you are consistent, if you do what you say you're going to do, if you communicate little and often, if you own your shit, all of that is being world-class at the basics. And if you do that, I genuinely believe you'll be a great recruiter. And not being afraid to put your hand up and ask for help when you need it. That is so, so important.
I agree.
There have been times in the last sort of 8 months with FT that when I've needed a hand with something, it's like I've got Riz and Adam around me. I've now got Joe around me, and, you know, we've just hired somebody else. I'll always leverage off other people, because you're never the finished article in recruitment. You're never the finished article in anything, and you can always get better. So don't, too many recruiters are scared to ask for help, which blows my mind, because they see it as a negative. But don't be afraid to ask for help.
I just think what you said there is just so obvious, isn't it? I mean, I think for me, one of the key things that makes a success, I mean, I have been a high performer. Well, I am a high performer, but, you know, I was the biggest biller in previous companies, and I've placed plenty of people like that, is I see this level of curiosity and inquisitiveness that means they're just relentless with their learning. They never stop, and they're just always curious, and they want to know what other people are doing and how they can improve themselves. And I think it's actually quite arrogant to think that you know everything about everything, because no one knows everything about everything. everything. We all know something about something, but we don't know everything about everything. So I love that you've kept it really simple, actually, doing the basics well with consistent behaviours and that continuous, you know, tenacity and curiosity. It's not rocket science to become a high performer in recruitment, actually. It is those three things that Max has said. So I think it's, you know, for leaders to spot that, you'll know.
Yeah, I think
it's not the ones that are blowing smoke, is it? It's the ones that are doing the basics well.
No, and I think we really overcomplicate it in recruitment. Like, if you actually you actually think about it, it is quite simple, but there are people that do it really, really badly, and the people that really overcomplicate it, and there are some exceptional people that do it. But I put money on that if you were to talk to all the exceptional people, like the people that bill a lot, add value to their customers, and have long-term relationships with people, I would put money on that it's because they're world-class at the basics, and they always want to get better, and they always want to learn, and they always want to develop. Yeah. And when things go wrong, they own it.
And just as a segue back to the starting point, they have relationships, they're not transactional. I can tell you now, they will have relationships that will go back years. They'll really matter to them. You've become a very prolific voice on LinkedIn, and I know it's created an incredible inbound sort of culture for you in terms of attracting talent for your business, but also for customers. So how did the whole LinkedIn sort of persona come about? Because you seem to kind of, in your previous company, and I'm not sure you were quite as vocal, but maybe it's since you've run your own business. Just talk us through your LinkedIn personal brand journey.
Do you know what? I think some of it actually started from just being really pissed off with how the industry was, how the industry was becoming. And it started off at first just trying to talk to recruiters, be like, give the head a wobble. Like, what are we doing? Like, we all need to get better. And then I think it's developed over time where it's now about advice to potential hiring managers, advice to candidates, advice to businesses on a whole host of different things. And it's just sort of developed from there. At first it was literally just a thought in my head, and it was like, right, I'll put it on LinkedIn. And there was no science behind it or thinking any more than that. And then I would just start posting more and more. But over time it's evolved. Certainly over the last 2 years it's really evolved. I see it as something that's really important, not just for a leader in recruitment, but also for all recruiters right now. I don't see it as trying to build a personal brand. I see it as sort of two things: giving advice on my experience in the industry to recruiters, candidates and clients, but also then the second thing is credibility. My audience is what I've just mentioned: recruiters, candidates and clients, and potential people that I could work with. So I want to use LinkedIn to try and showcase some of my credibility, and so that people know who I am and what I talk about, and I know what I'm talking about. And as you say, it's helped with candidate attraction, it's helped with client attraction, as in people have approached me.
Good.
And it's helped with our last hire.
Which is incredible. And I think that the reason I wanted to ask you that is because I think that there are a lot of leaders listening that maybe are a little bit reticent to, I love the word that you showcase there, but you know, talk, you don't want to sound like you're bragging, because you get the kind of the boastful ones who talk about we're amazing, we've done all these deals. And then you get those that I think you get three kinds. You then get the ones who are a bit reticent, who feel like they're, you know, they're a bit covert, they don't maybe want to share so much. And then people like you and me, who basically are so authentic and just say it as it is, and actually don't give a shit what people actually think, but you're engaging with the right people that then do sort of want to discuss it with you. And that, I think it's really important to say. I mean, I don't know about you, but you're not trying to create an echo chamber. You're trying to create a debate. And like you say, it's in an advisory capacity. And you, I think what I like about your post is that you always have, I know it's a bit cheesy to say the call to action, but your call to action is always a debate. It's never like, you know, it's quite, you're enticing people to have a conversation about it. It's not, this is how it is. It's, this is what I think we should talk about.
Well, because it goes back to, like, in no way am I a personal branding expert. In no way am I the finished article in terms of recruitment. Far from it. There are far more people more experienced than me. Lisa, you're a prime example. But I think I've got some good experience, and I think I've got some stuff I can talk about that might help people.
I always say, if it helps one person, I don't care how much engagement it's had, if it's helped one person make a decision about their career or improve what they're doing day to day, or one leader's gone, that's a really good bit of advice, Leash, thanks. That's it, job done. It doesn't, I'm not doing it for the likes. I do it because, like you, and I think that's really obvious when people obviously listening to this now or watching this now, they'll go and follow you on LinkedIn. And I think that's what they'll get from you. I think you're very real. And I think you often say what other people maybe are a bit scared to say. But I think ultimately it comes right back to what we said at the start, that when you're building a relationship with an audience, which is what you've done on LinkedIn consistently over the last couple of years, is that you want to improve what we're all here to do. That it really does come across very consistently. So have you got any advice? I really want to keep this one for leaders, actually, because I think a lot of most recruiters are on here on LinkedIn. They know this is where they need to be. But a lot of leaders are still wary to share such, I guess, personal insights and advice. What would your advice be to them?
Just do it. I think the leaders in recruitment, they've clearly been in the industry for a long time. So they've got so much insight, so much knowledge. Yeah. What's gone well previously, what's been a car crash.
Yeah.
Just start sharing, because going
sharing
back to what
it.
You just said, it might help someone. It might not directly help them straight away. It takes a lot of time to build up that audience. But it might really, really help somebody. Some people are set in their ways and they don't want to post
anything
and they don't see the value of it. I know people that are like that.
Me too.
But it's another, I think, quite a great tool for attraction.
It definitely
and
is.
For helping and for promoting change, all the stuff you've just mentioned. So my advice to anybody is just do it. Whether that's a recruitment leader, whether that's a newer consultant to the industry, talk about your experiences. It could help someone.
Yeah, I love it. And what a great way to finish, because I couldn't have put that better. And, you know, I've got so much respect for what you've achieved so far and what you actually do give to our industry. And we just need more cheerleaders like you, Max, because ultimately we are, you know, it's an amazing industry that, you know, has been most of my working career, 25 years of my working career. And I think we're all so privileged to do the job that we do, but let's all do it better. We can all improve what we're doing. So thank you for joining us. How's it been for you? Have you enjoyed the experience?
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah, it's been good. Great.
Well, obviously everybody will have your contact information if you want to know more about Max, about Forge Talent. We'll make sure we've got contact information on there. And thank you so much for joining us on the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast. The Recruiters Recruitment Podcast is thrilled to be partnering with Inclusion Crowd. Inclusion Crowd put the D into diversity, but do it disruptively. We love that. Really reflecting what we're about. I was introduced to Inclusion Crowd back in 2020, and I've been absolutely blown away with what they're doing to totally transform the recruitment and hiring sector. They believe at Inclusion Crowd that companies should be reflective of society, and that no matter who you are listening now, you have a story to tell, you have a contribution to make. An Inclusion Crowd educate you in allowing your voice to come out and share that story, but doing it in a way that educates your colleagues and your customers equally. Inclusion Crowd, like the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast, has clients all over the world, and they specialize in our industry. What we all want to do together is to maintain best practice and to raise industry standards to enable us to attract and retain the best talent, but doing so inclusively and with true diversity. By doing this, by accomplishing a true EDI policy within your business, you will also retain the top talent as well as attract new talent, which is a win-win for everybody listening, making more profitable business and a much better industry, highly regarded. Inclusion Crowd are also the official awarding body for the Inclusion and Diversity Certification Mark within recruitment. We are so proud to be assisting and partnering Inclusion Crowd. If you want to know more information, please click on the link in this episode and remember to mention the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast when you do so. Now, back to the episode. We are so proud to be partners of Needy, the gifting revolution. Here at Key Recruitment, we absolutely love
to send out bespoke gifts to our new place candidates to welcome them in their new jobs, but also as an extra special thank you to clients or when a team is celebrating something really special. But to be honest, we were really fed up with dull or mediocre gifts that you could just buy on the high street that didn't really reflect who we are at Key Recruitment as a business. This is why we chose Needy. Needy source sustainably from the UK's best independent businesses, offering the most perfect array of bespoke gifts and experiences too. So no more boring bottles of plonk or rubbish boxes of chocolates. This is how you make your customers' day with a gift that really matters and shows that you really want to do something special for them. For more information on how psychology and AI forming to make the best gift experience for you, click on the link and remember to mention the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast when ordering. Now, back to the episode.